Happy Mother's Day. How are you guys doing today? Great to be with you. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thank you for being tuned in with us today. We're so glad you guys are here. Now, before we go any further in this message, I want to stop and ask all the moms to stand to your feet. We'd like to honor you. Come on, all moms. Come on, moms, stand up. We love you. We're so thankful for you. We would not be here without you. We love you. Thank you so much. We're grateful for you. Thank you. You may be seated. It's so good to have each and every one of you here. It's an honor to have you here. I'm excited about today's message. And I do want to say, before I get started, I want to first of all say thank you to Pastor Dante. He did a great job last week. You guys give it up for him, man. He was bringing the heat. It was great. Brought a great message. Had the, you know, the board was calling me like, we really don't need you anymore. I was like, wait, what? So anyways, no, he did a great work, and I'm really thankful we have some great communicators on our staff, and so I'm very thankful for that. And so, but listen, it's great to be with you. I'm so excited to be talking about Mother's Day today, and so I love it. I happen to have been raised by a great woman, a godly woman, who I still have with me. I'm really thankful to still have my mother with me. She'll be in the next service, but, and then, of course, she raised me halfway, and then my wife has raised me the rest of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's true, isn't it? Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, yeah, my wife, she's amazing. She's been raising me for years. I mean, so, you know. Really true. So anyways, we love Mother's Day. And before I dive into the whole message, I do want to stop though and just say that as much as I love Mother's Day, it's easy for me to love Mother's Day because I have a great mom who's godly, who raised me in the Lord, who loves our family, you know, and so I just had a really good experience. And my wife is just amazing. She's the best mom I've ever seen in my life. And she blows my mind. But I also want to stop and say, I know that for some people, Mother's Day is not easy. For some people, this is a very difficult day. And so I just want to take a moment, if I can, before I dive into the sermon and just say, if that's you, if you say, man, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm estranged from my mom. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, I haven't talked to my mom in years. Maybe you're like, I can't talk to my mom. It's so difficult when I do. You know, maybe that's your story. Or maybe you say, no, I had an amazing mom. I just don't have her with me anymore. And so, and then there's another category I want to mention too, and that is that some of you are like, I just want to be a mom. And it just hasn't happened for us yet, and we're really are praying for that to happen. That can be really tough. If you're in any of those situations, just Mother's Day in general is just hard for you, I just want to ask you to show us a little vulnerability and raise your hand so we can pray for you. I just want to do that. Is that cool? Can we do that? So if that's you, you say, this is just a tough day. I'm going to be honest, this is hard. There are hands all around all of our campus right now, people with their hands up. And if you do, thank you for telling us. Keep your hand up. No, keep your hand up. And I'm going to ask the people around you, I'm going to pray, but I just want you, it's not weird, nothing like that. Just if you're sitting next to someone like that, just put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Would you? We're going to pray for them right now because this is tough for some of us. It is. And I just want you to know that God sees you and he knows that even a day like this that's supposed to be a celebration can be very painful. So let me pray for you. God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you see us. You know our pain. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for all these amazing moms, but Lord, I know not everyone had that. And so, God, I pray for the person who wishes they would have had that. I pray for the person who hasn't talked to their own mother in years, or maybe they're going to talk to their mother today, but it's hard to make that phone call. It's hard to reach out. I pray for grace for them today. I pray for those here today who no longer have their mother with them and they miss them dearly. God, please give them grace today, carry them through this. And I pray for the person who really has the love and they want to be a mom, they want to give that love to a child. They just have not been able to have a child yet. I pray your blessings and your grace on them too. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that you're a God who understands our difficulties. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Aren't you glad that we have a God who does understand us, you know? He understands what we go through. He does. Well, this is going to be an easy message for me to preach. You know why? It's not because I'm so great a preacher. No, that's not it. It's going to be easy to preach because I didn't write it. This message has been completely written from my children. I texted them and I said, I'm not writing this message. You're writing it. I want each of you to give me a point, something that you have seen in your own mom that has blessed you. And you would not believe how fast I got texts back. And so because my wife is, if you know my wife, she's an incredible mom. And she also is the mother of this house. And she really does an amazing job of shepherding so many people. And so I'm so thankful for her. So I'm excited about sharing the wisdom that she has lived out through her children. And so I'm excited about today's message to share that with you. There was a frazzled mother that sent her little boy to bed. And she heard him grumbling to himself. And he said, why is it every time my mom's tired, I have to go take a nap? You know? That's mothering, is it not? How many moms are tired, right? You just say, yes, we're exhausted, right? Okay, but I got to warn you, like, the thing, you say you're tired, mom, but here's the thing. God warns you because the first day of mothering, he literally called it labor. He called it labor. That should have been your first clue that this was going to be exhausting. And some of you are like, I'm still laboring, Pastor. It has not stopped. It's really true. Mothering can be exhausting. And so my kids are older now, so it's easy to talk about it, right? You know, like the longer my kids are older and the further I am away from those tough years, the more of an expert I become again. You know, that's how that works, you know? But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know anything. I don't know crap. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm terrible, you know? And so, but you know, as you get a little older, it's one of those things that happens. But I remember I used to come home and my wife, I'd walk in the door and she would go, do you know what your kids did today? And I was like, oh, now they're my kids. And so she told me that she's like, you know, you ruined my gene pool. And I'm like, I did. I ruined her gene pool. She had great genes and then I mixed in and messed all that up. But, you know, that's kind of how that works. But I'm excited to talk about this today because this really does describe my wife. Today's message is called The Anointed Mother. So what does anointing mean? You know, we've kind of in this series we've been doing on anointing and anointing prayer. We talked about last week. Week four was the ingredients of anointing in someone's life. Here's what anointed means. To be anointed, it signifies being set apart by God, empowered for a purpose, and divinely inspired. And that really describes my wife as a mother, and it may describe you too. And I don't want to make this message Jessica-centric. It's not that. But I bet as I share some things my kids told me, I bet you'll find your mom's story in this too. And so, because a lot of these characteristics are just characters of just an anointed mother in general as well. But I also want to say this. I believe today's message will be empowering to you, even if you say, well, I really just want to hear a good message. Well, all these principles that my wife has lived out, they just work in life, period, whether you're a mom or not. And so I hope and pray that this message touches your life as much as it did me to receive it from my own kids. So the first thing I want to tell you today is this about an anointed mother. An anointed mother is intentional. This came from Mason. Mason shot this off fast and said, Dad, I'm telling you, one thing I know about mom, she's intentional. Everything has a reason and a purpose behind it. Joshua 24:15 says this, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Intentionality means that you don't leave anything to chance. There's a reason behind what you're doing. Here's a quote by Mason. Mason said this, as a mother, being intentional shows your children that you don't want them to grow up accidentally. You want them to be built up intentionally. I love how you said the word built up, because really, mom, you already know this, you're building young men and young women. You're building the next generation. And that's how Jessica took her role. And she just, everything had a reason behind it. And sometimes she would quickly say this too. She says, I'm not telling you this, I'm not getting on you because you're a pastor's kid. I'm getting on you because you're a Christian. You see, do you hear the difference there? And then sometimes she would even say, well, no, I want you to do this because you're a Cornelius. There should be some pride in your name, right? Like, this is who we are as a family, you know? You're a Smith, you're a Jones, you're a, you know, whoever. You say, and this is how we do it. This is how our family does it. And so I think there's power in that. So Jessica's really good at being intentional with our kids. There was a reason behind what she was doing. It was not by accident. And so she also, my wife is a great planner. Did you guys like all the flowers? Could you believe that flower arrangement? Was that amazing earlier? I mean, she's like, wow. That's my wife. That's all her. And so she's so intentional about everything, and she just plans things out. Here's the thing I know about moms too. Moms versus dads. Dads, we're generally aware that there's small people living with us, you know, but that's kind of it. Moms know exactly where the kids, like you say, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. They're like, this first kid's here, second kid's here. Like, they know exactly where they are and what they're doing, right? That's a mom, right? To where dads, we're kind of like a little checked out half of the time. We're like, wait, where are they? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. You know, but to where Jessica knew everything about their schedules, where they were, what they're doing. To this day, my wife, my daughter is off at A&M. She's off at College Station. My wife still knows exactly where she's at on a Tuesday at 3 p.m. Like, she still knows her schedule like that. So she's well planned out. And so, but let me just take a step out of motherhood for a moment, even though we're talking about that today, and just ask you this question. Are you living with intention? What does that mean? Do you have a plan? What is your plan in life? Now, plans don't always work out. I understand that. And you got to be willing to have contingency plans when things get changed. That's okay, too. But I want to tell you something. There's a direct correlation between someone's happiness and their planning. Or I should say they're planning and they're follow through. So I just want to challenge you. If you're not happy with where you are today, that's okay. Make sure you can't say that next year. plan things out. Design your life. Live with intention as much as my wife has parented and mothered with intention. And if you will do that, you really can build the life in the future that you want. And so an anointed mother is intentional. And this is something else one of my kids told me, and this is from Cole. Cole said, an anointed mother prioritizes the Lord and his house. It's really true. Check out the scripture. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in their habit of doing, but encouraging one another. God wants us to be meeting together. What is that? That's the church. That's what we're doing right now when we're gathered together. And honestly, you know what? Mother's Day is always a high attendance for our church. Why? Because mom's dragging us all to church, right? Not Father's Day. Like, what do you want to do, Dad? Let's go get on the boat, right? No, no, no. Mom's like, I just want everyone in church with me. And so here you are. And so, Mom, thank you for being spiritual and drawing us to God's house. We are so thankful for that. We really are. Cole said, even if we were sick or had another event, Mom would make sure we were at church no matter what. She took sin and righteousness seriously. I love how Cole connected that. He connected church with sin and righteousness, meaning this is where you learn right from wrong. But I like to say it this way. Actually, church is not where you learn right and wrong. Home is where you learn that, and church can support that. So we can back you up. And let me give you a little secret to those who maybe are moms that are new in the game. You got young kids, right? And Jessica did this masterfully. Here's one thing that I've learned from her, and I was amazed by it, and she knew this. Hear this. You can't pick your kids' friends. I know you wish you could, but you can't. But here's what you can do. You can pick the pool on which they pick their friends from. So this is why when you drag your kids to children's church and they say, I don't want to go, and you go, nope, you're going, and you let them have crocodile tears as they walk in. You tell your kid they're going to camp. You don't ask them if they want to go to camp. You tell them they're going to camp. And they freak out on the way there. I don't want to be here. This is lame. And they're crying about it. And on the way home, they're crying, saying, I don't want to leave. It's so fun. Because they make friends there. And so, yeah, you can't pick their friends, but you can pick the pool from which they pick their friends. Does that make sense? My wife did this so masterfully. And so she knew just because someone calls and says, hey, does so-and-so, you know, when your kids want to come stay tonight, that doesn't mean we say yes. In fact, I think the standard answer in our home was no, by the way, because some of the most horror stories I've ever heard in my life with children growing up has been stay the nights. I'm just going to let you know now. So our answer was hard no on everyone. And then occasionally, if we decided to make a different plan, that's different. Does that make sense? Start with no. Makes it easy. Oh, it's not personal. We just say no to everyone. We don't do sleepovers. You see how that works? And then occasionally, you'd be like, well, it's so-and-so. Okay. But that's the rare thing. And so my point is that it's our job to protect our kids. The best way to protect them is to choose their friends. How do you choose their friends? You don't. You choose their pool of friends. And so I'm not dropping my kid off at the mall. Why? That's not the pool of friends I want them picking from. But I'll drop them off at youth group. That's the pool of friends I want them picking from. Make sense? So, an anointed mother prioritizes God and the church, the Lord and his house. And another thing about church, what I love about it, is that the church will tell your kids things you're trying to tell them anyways. And so this used to happen all the time. My kids would go off to camp. They'd come back. I'll never forget Mason. It's like, Dad, Mom, the message is so powerful. It was amazing. This preacher got up and he was talking about how we shouldn't have sex until we're married. And we're like, did he? That's great. Have you never heard that anywhere before, Mason? Yeah, it was so cool. We're like, I've only told you that 350 times. You know what I mean? But there's something about what I call that third voice when there's someone else that says it, you know? And so I'm telling you, that's the power of the church. That can be that third voice to support what you're saying anyways. And so you get the support that you need, and it's such a powerful thing to do that. Also, you know, another thing about church, I think it's really important. It's happened for all three of our kids, and it happens for all of us as adults too. Church helps you discover who you are. And so, in other words, God's word just kind of enlivens your life. It just lights you up, and you realize, oh, God has me here for a reason. Like, I'm not here by accident. And you start to take a look and see what your gifts are, your talents, your abilities, and what your desires are. I put all that together and realize, okay, God has a plan here for my life, right? All that comes together in church. And the reason I want to mention this is because sometimes we get frustrated as parents because our kids aren't doing exactly what we want them to do. And I remember I heard this years ago. Max Lucado said this, a great pastor. He said, kids really aren't a blank slate that you write what you want on them. They're actually a book for you to read. God has already written things in their heart. He's already written talents and abilities that they have. He's already written preferences. So it's our job as parents not to give them our will, but to read what God's will is in their life. Does that make sense? So take the pressure off trying to convert your child into you and let them be who God made them to be and celebrate that, even if it's different than what you were thinking. Does that make sense? And so I just want to encourage you to do that, because it really can make a difference. Also, have you figured this out yet? We have three kids, all three raised in the same home by the same parents. They are all three totally different people. Isn't that amazing how that works? That's the evidence that you know that it's not nature or nurture, it's both. And that, yeah, yes, you shaped them in many ways, but God has shaped them before you ever got them. And so it's our job to read that. Just want to encourage you with that. And so an anointed mother prioritizes the Lord and his house. The third and the fourth points here are from Sophie. And so I love this. She said this, an anointed mother is wise. That's so true. Moms, you have so much wisdom. And the great thing about mom's wisdom is that they deliver it different than dad. Okay, check out the scripture. Proverbs 31:26 says, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. This is where dads don't do that, right? Like, we're like, well, you need to do this. We just kind of tell them, right? And so is it any wonder that they call mom five times more than they call dad, right? I mean, telling you, right? Because we just kind of tell them, and they're like, I really didn't want to just be told what to do. But mom does what? She's like, and then what happened? And then what'd she say? And then what did you do? And how'd that make you feel? Dads aren't doing any of that. I'm like, I don't know how you feel. How do you feel? What's that have to do with anything? Do this, you know? And so I'm just telling you, there's a sweetness, a kindness in the way you deliver wisdom. And even though dad and mom may agree on the piece of wisdom, how it's delivered is very different from mom to dad, is it not? And so there's a power that you have. I'm telling you, it's a superpower that mom has. My wife would start rubbing our kids' heads and information would just pour out of them. She'd start rubbing her head and she'd go, blah, 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 blah. And he'd just tell you everything. It was the funniest thing in the world. I'm telling you, just all it took was a little head rub and it was over. Everything came out. Yeah, I really like this girl. Her name's blah, 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 blah. They just tell you everything you want to know, right? And so there's something about a mom that can do that. And so even to this day, Sophie calls me. You know, she's up at College Station. But honestly, she calls me. And you know what's the first thing I hear when she calls me? Where's mom? That's what she's calling me for. She wants to know where mom is. You know? And so she's saying, I want to talk to mom. And so she still calls her all the time. And so I love that. And what's she looking for? She's looking for wisdom. She's living on her own now. She's like, hey, what about this? What about that? And Jessica provides amazing wisdom. This is what Sophie said about that. She said for this. She said this, for me, mom's best quality is her wisdom. She always knows the right thing to say, the right advice to give, and the right way to guide me. Her wisdom shaped my decisions and strengthens my faith. That's what sets her apart. Isn't that great? And so, mom, you have a wisdom about you. You've gone through things, and the way you express it, the way you share it with kindness, doesn't make your kids feel judged. It makes them feel understood. But it's still, when someone feels understood, it opens their heart to your wisdom. And you're just really good at that. And let's be honest. You know what wisdom really is? Let's be honest. Okay, because I want to be clear here. Let me tell you what wisdom isn't. Wisdom is not ChatGPT. Wisdom is not Google. Wisdom is not the latest TikTok. I don't care how much of an influencer they are. That's really not wisdom. You can find some wisdom on those sites. But wisdom is this. Can I give you a definition of wisdom? Wisdom is the applied knowledge of God. So one thing we're not lacking in our culture is information. We have lots of information. What we're lacking is wisdom. And you know what wisdom sounds like? It sounds old. It just sounds old school. Think about this. You know, here's wisdom. And what's funny is the people blowing up on TikTok and on Instagram are the old school wisdom people. It's young people saying old wisdom. And so, for example, maybe here's a piece of wisdom maybe you hadn't thought about in a while. You know what? I should probably save money. I think my mom told me that. Now think about this. You know, I'm so frustrated, not where I want to be in life, and I don't have the relationship I want yet, or the job I want, or I'm frustrated. But there's something back in my mind that says, maybe you should just be patient, dear. I think my mom said that to me. I think she said, I just need patience. How about this one? Here's a great one. You know, I'm really frustrated because they got the promotion and they got the raise, and I'm not making as much money as they are, and I'm really frustrated. Well, Squeedy, could it be maybe that they worked harder? Oh. Yeah, they do show up early and stay late. And while I'm looking at YouTube, they're working. Yeah, they probably deserve more money. I think my mom told me that. Isn't it old school wisdom that our parents give us that's actually really new school? Save money, have a strong work ethic, have a plan, be kind to people, don't lie. That's just what your mom told you. But if you actually lived by that wisdom, as Proverbs says again and again, to listen to your mother's instruction, to listen to your father's instruction, it just works. It's simple things like that. And moms, you're amazing at delivering that wisdom to us. Anointed mothers are wise. And the last one here, also from Sophie, is an anointed mother is a role model. Titus 2, verse 7 says this, "Do what is good, set an example for them in everything." And I love this quote from Sophie. She said, "She's not just my mom, she's my role model and my best friend. She has set a very high standard of being the best mom, and I hope one day I'll be able to use all her wisdom she's taught me over the years to be half as good as a mom as she is." Isn't that beautiful? The truth is that you are the first role model we've ever had, our mothers. Your kindness that you pass along, we pass along. You know, your habits, your thoughts, we have your thoughts. We think like you. And so we're so thankful for that. And mom, you are the best role model. In fact, I know that the moms in this room, at all of our campuses, are role models. Why? Because you're here in church. You're honoring God. You're putting them first. And so you really are a role model to all of us. An anointed mother is intentional, prioritizes the Lord and his house, is wise, and is the ultimate role model. Let's take a moment to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you know. That kind of love, that kind of unconditional love that our moms, many of our mothers had for us, comes from a higher source, doesn't it? Comes from the Lord. God put that in them for you. That same kind of love you have for your kids, they can do no wrong. There's nothing they could do that you would not love them through. God feels that way about you. God sent his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the price for your sins and for mine. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. And now you can make him your Lord and your Savior. Maybe for you, you're here today because your mother dragged you to church. That's great. We're glad you're here. It's an act of love that you did that. But maybe your mom really wanted you here today because what she really wants more than anything for Mother's Day isn't a gift. She wants you to give your heart to Jesus, to receive his free gift of grace. You say, "Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I've been to churches, and I know how preachers can be and Christians can be and this and that." I just want to stop there and just ask you, I'm not asking you to accept all of that. I'm not asking you to accept the wrongs that you've seen of religion. In fact, Jesus hated that too. But do you really have an issue with the OG Jesus? The guy who walked on water and made the blind man see and healed the lame? Him? The guy who fed 5,000 people in one sitting off of a loaf, a small lunch from one little boy? That's Jesus, and he loves you. I bet you don't have an issue with him. So why don't you set aside all the other things and just say, "You know what, I'll accept that Jesus. I'll accept the OG, the real guy, because he is real. He died for you, and he rose again. Now he waits for you to receive him." You can pray this prayer with us right now across all of our campuses, those watching online and our prison ministry. Pray this prayer right now to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You can just say this with me. You can just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. As much as I understand, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed across all of our campuses, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Jesus, if you just said, "No, I just became a Christian. I just accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior." Hold your hand high. Would you do that? There are hands going up all across our churches. We see your hands. Thank you, Padre Island. Praise God. Thank you, Rodfield. Stone Oak. Praise God. Hold those hands high. Thank you. Praise God. God's moving right now at Rockport Fulton. Right there at Portland. Right here at Broadcast. Maybe you're online with us right now, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text "my hands raised" or click "hand raised" right now. In our prison ministry, hold your hand high. Praise God. Lord, I love you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for the decision that many people today came to make their mother's faith, their own personal faith, that they entrusted their lives in your hands. Thank you, God, that you're a God who loves us and waits patiently for us to come to you. Thank you for those who did that just now. And thank you for a message that reminds us of your love, the love we've seen through amazing mothers in our lives. Thank you, God, that you take care of us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth today. May we live with great intention. May we put your house first. May we live in wisdom, and may we become an example to the next generation. Thank you for your word and your truth today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Thank you.